Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. Inland Pacific Ballet is bringing their annual production of The Nutcracker this December to both Bridges Auditorium in Claremont on December 7th, 8th, 21st, and 22nd, and to the Fox Performing Arts Center in Riverside December 14th through 15th. On the line to tell us more is Zaylin Cano, ballet mistress and executive director for Inland Pacific Ballet. Thank you for joining me.
Absolutely. I'm just so delighted to be here. It has been a dream of mine to visit K-Frog since a young girl in high school.
Well, I'm so thrilled to have like an actual genuine ballerina here. Tell us about your background, both as a dancer and how you came to be with Inland Pacific Ballet.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I felt so fortunate. I was actually in the first production ever that Inland Pacific Ballet produced at the Bridges Auditorium Theater in 1994. And that's kind of when my whole ballet journey started, being in that massive theater on stage and having that experience next to professionals next to me just lit this spark and this passion in me. And it actually led to later going on to have the opportunity to train in London with Ballet Rambert. And I trained and danced in London for 6-7 years before then journeying out and touring and being on the road. But I really feel the foundational steps that I was able to receive performing with professional dancers in front of a live audience gave me these roots to be able to have this wonderful professional career all over the world, right here in the IE, which is just amazing to me.
Compared to a lot of ballet dancers who have only studied classical ballet, you have a pretty diverse background. How do you think that influences the way you teach and coach your dancers?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that came directly from Victoria Koenig, the founding director of Inland Pacific Ballet. She believed fiercely in us being diverse, first of all, so we would have the athleticism in our classical work to fly across the stage and be strong, but the artistic mastery of musical theater styles. So we would be animated on stage, not just boring ballet dancers standing up there. But then the rhythm of tap for the petit allegro and the timing and counting and jazz for the hits and contemporary for rise and fall on the floor. And I think that led me to study all those styles really deeply. I feel fortunate enough to have been able to tap with Greg Russell and Dick Getty down in LA at the Edge and, you know, study contemporary dance with some of the best artists in Europe, you know, in London, and then all of the classical foundations from Royal Ballet or from, you know, Vicky at Inland Pacific Ballet. And I feed that into my students and into the professionals I work with. And I think it really adds for dynamic performances on stage that the audience literally just gets up out of their seats and is like cheering and clapping because it's so energetic and athletic as well as beautiful to watch.
Tell us about Inland Pacific Ballet, which is considered one of, if not the premier ballet company in the Inland Empire.
It was founded right over in Montclair in 1994. It began around 1991, but the nonprofit arts organization was officially founded in 1994. And throughout the years, they have cultivated professionals from the community. We have a fourfold mission that we really stay true to this day. And I just get so thrilled each time we expand on it. And one of those is providing Inland Empire audiences access to full-length classical ballets, and now we've expanded to musical ballets as well, which is really exciting. The second fold of that is to provide working professionals working opportunities. And so that's our dancers on stage. We have set designers. We make everything in-house. Costume designers that come in and design and sew the costumes. We have lighting designers and videographers that come in. So providing working opportunities for local professionals at a high standard. Then the next fold of that is our apprentice trainee program. And that's providing Inland Empire youth access to professional training and performance opportunities. So each year, about 20 students are selected and they get to perform the whole season alongside our professional company in all these venues that we tour to, as well as train a rigorous schedule, as we were talking about previously, which is many hours. And then the fourth and final fold of that is our outreach program. And so each year we bus thousands of K-12 school children in to school versions of all of our performances that are about 60 to 90 minutes in length. And it exposes them to the art of classical ballet, musical theater, acting, performing, stagecraft, and design in hopes that maybe one day they would like to be an artist themselves.
For those who may not know the story of the Nutcracker, can you give us that story, at least according to your production?
Yes, of course. I actually think the Nutcracker is the best first introduction to classical ballet because it is such a vibrant, fun show. It's not too long, but it's not too short. And it's about this young girl who receives a nutcracker that turns into life. And my favorite part is seeing the kids through the battle scene with the mouse and the nutcracker battling it out. And, you know, the nutcracker wins and turns from a doll into a prince and escorts Clara on this magical journey through the land of the snow to get to the land of the sweets. And in the land of the sweets, they visit all sorts of different countries with different movement styles. And it's just so electrifying for the audience to see the different colors and styles of movement and the sound with the music from Tchaikovsky. It changes energy and it's just really engaging. And it's an easy story to follow. And then at the end, Clara is back at home in her room with her doll that she received from Drosselmeyer, her uncle.
The Nutcracker has been performed in America for over 100 years now. Why do you think this ballet has stood the test of time like it has?
Honestly, as a choreographer, I think the foundation for any good, successful dance piece is the music. And so I think it starts with Tchaikovsky's music. I mean, we hear it in the store. I don't know about you, but Waltz of the Flowers comes on and all of a sudden my body is dancing that choreography that it knows so well. I think we all recognize that sound and it has a warm holiday feeling. You know, there's so many people that make our Nutcracker their family holiday tradition. And I think that's why it stood the test of time, is it has that holiday homey feel good feeling that people go, oh, I can't wait to go and see the Nutcracker this year and get our pictures by the Christmas tree and have the hot cocoa in the lobby and go see the Mission Inn lights after the show. Starting from the music through the performance, it's just a family holiday treasured event.
What do you think makes Inland Pacific Ballet's version of the Nutcracker unique?
Well, of course, I'm slightly biased, having been in the first production and now executive director. So I adamantly feel it's the best Nutcracker. But over the course of many years, patrons have stopped me in the lobby and they've said, we've tried other Nutcrackers, but we always come back to yours. And I think it's that we keep this traditional storybook feel that makes you feel like you're opening a storybook and going into the show. But then the dance is electrifying and we've added contemporary movement while keeping the classical ballet there. And over the years of cultivation of local artists, our Sugar Plum this year, she was a Clara for us and is now principal with New York City Ballet, and they're releasing her to come dance Sugar Plum with us. That's just one of our company dancers. So it's local talent that goes away and continues their training and comes back. And so they have their heart and soul in this production too. And I think the audience feels that coming off the stage. But then we have 25-foot-long dragon that comes out and it's just like magic that keeps happening. It's like, you know, when you go to Disney and there's Tinkerbell and then there's the fireworks. And that to me is our Nutcracker. First, there's the party scene and there's these magic moments of the dolls. And then you're in the battle scene and then it's snowing on stage. And then act two, each diversitessement from the lands is its own thing. And so, and then Stephen Yarborough, our new lighting designer, he has come up, we've worked together hand in hand on creating this amazing lighting design. And I think that really brings the audience into it. So it's not just dance. It's the best of sets, costumes, lights, and choreography.
I'm speaking with Zaylin Cano, ballet mistress and executive director for Inland Pacific Ballet. You speak of the Nutcracker as being a tradition for audiences, but I feel like it's also a tradition for the ballet students. Tell us what it's like to see a young dancer start in a very beginning role and then work their way up into soloist roles.
Oh, this is, and I love to see this journey. And now that I've been in this role for several years, it's so fulfilling. So they start as a little bonbon, as a 5 or 6 year old. And then there's all these little milestones that they build. And, you know, ballet, classical ballet is a discipline as well as an art form. It takes many hours of practice to make your body strong enough and empowered enough, learn the technique and the discipline of the art. So to see these young performers start to commit and show up and be consistent in their training, and then to see them progress through the roles, it brings so much joy because I know the sacrifices they're making. You don't really think about it, but training is hard and you have to give up on sometimes birthday parties or family holidays away, because when you're in show mode and rehearsal mode, you have to show up and be consistent in that. And so to see them making those sacrifices and then them have this experience on stage and shine, it is just so fulfilling. But it becomes a holiday tradition for the families themselves. Like my family, you know, we knew that Nutcracker season was August to December, and that was our time. And my parents came and helped backstage. My mom helped make the costumes. And so it becomes a whole family. We have brothers doing set changes or helping with load-ins and load-outs. And so this little bonbon will then progress to be in the party scene and be one of the orphans or party girls. And then they'll progress and get point shoes. And one of the first point roles is a battle doll or an angel. And then, you know, they'll progress through corps de ballet. But then sometimes they leave, and we have many right now who are with School of American Ballet or National Ballet of Canada, Atlanta Ballet, Houston Ballet, and they go to boarding school for dance, and then they come back to us. So one of the really exciting things the last weekend of Nutcracker this year is seeing some of those students that I saw as a bonbon who've gone away and had this training and performance experience in these other states or countries, and they're coming home and they're going to perform soloist and corps de ballet roles right back on stage at home at Bridges or Riverside again. And that full circle of life is just, you know, you can't put words to it.
If someone has only seen one ballet in their life, like you said, it's probably been the Nutcracker. Why is this ballet so appealing to audiences?
Again, I think it's the accessibility at the holiday season where we come together as families and we want to do something that we will remember and have like a lasting imprint on our minds and as togetherness. And there's nothing like, I mean, we do it with my boys at home with my mom and my dad and my husband. And, you know, we pick specific shows in the holidays that we go see. And those are the ones that my sons remember the most. And they're like, do you remember when we went to that restaurant and then we went and saw the show? And do you remember that part when the scenic changed? And so I think Nutcracker, particularly in the holiday season, is that one that everyone knows they'll go to and enjoy, and that grandpa or uncle isn't going to fall asleep because it's so energetic, and it's not too long that they're going to get antsy and start checking the football scores or baseball scores out in the lobby. But at the same time, it's just so engaging, from the music that is bright and cheery to the costumes and the spectacle and the dancing, you know, big leaps and turns. It's very virtuoso. It's not, you know, just corps de ballet standing. You don't have to have, I don't say this in a mean context, a sophisticated eye, but the more ballets you see, you start to look for the turnout and the feet and the positioning. But Nutcracker, you don't need to have that eye yet to enjoy it and be engaged with the storyline, because it is just through and through, from curtain up to curtain down, one that's easy to follow and just invigorating.
I think it's great for all ages too.
Oh yes.
The first act is things that kids can relate to, parties and gift giving, and then the second act kind of becomes the more serious dancing, whereas then the kids start to settle down. Are there certain performances that are more appropriate for children to attend rather than date night at the ballet?
I would say not for Nutcracker. I think anything goes. But I would say maybe like the matinees. The kids are usually a little more engaged. But one thing that kids absolutely love is after the show, all the performers come out in their costume and there are autograph papers. Mm-hmm. And they collect the autographs from the performers and they go and visit them. And that's a really fun engagement between the two. We do offer school shows for K-12 students and any homeschool families, and anyone can sign up that has kids in school to come to those. Those are, you know, in the morning time, but those are really fun because we give a behind the scenes glimpse. So we show the students how the scenic shifts occur and how the magic happens. And then at intermission, they stand up and we give them a dance lesson in their seats on how to balance and releve and how to stand on one leg and what is first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. And so they leave feeling like they've learned some ballet vocabulary as well.
You briefly mentioned this before, but this is a very old ballet. How are choreographers and artistic directors and ballet masters and mistresses working to keep this ballet relevant to contemporary audiences?
Yes, and this is something that each year we look at it. And so there's this heartache pull if you want to stay to tradition and, you know, you've learned it one way. But then there's always this, now what are we going to do this year? How are we going to tweak it? What are we going to change either with the set, with the costumes? How are we going to modernize it? So definitely the last several years, we have invested that into how are we going to make a contemporary light show? I wanted to integrate musical theater lighting concepts into classical ballet work. So that was one thing that we did with the Nutcracker. Then this year, we're designing a whole new tree that grows with new ground row. So that's another new piece that's coming. And then we re-choreographed the battle scene to use contemporary movement. And each year also, the dancers that we have hired, they bring a different set of skills and artistry. So like this year, we have some acro and cirque artists with us. So like Russian is like off the hook with like these tumbling passes and these other skills that they bring to the table. So I think with an artistic and a creative mind, each year when you're open to that possibility of how can we make this better and adaptable, and then the kids, right? Each year we open up auditions to students in the Inland Empire and to, you know, the academy, and they always have their own ideas. And it's great because they're fresh and young and are seeing things through a different contemporary lens. And sometimes we go, interesting. And other times we go, great idea. Let's figure out how to enter.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Integrate that this year.
I'm speaking with Zaylin Cano, ballet mistress and executive director for Inland Pacific Ballet. How long have your dancers at Inland Pacific Ballet been preparing for this performance?
It actually goes in two stages. As I mentioned before, we have our professional company and then we have students from the community. And the students actually start rehearsing every year the first week of October. And then our professional company comes in and starts rehearsing mid-October. And they rehearse several times a week. And towards the end of November, we do something called our put-together rehearsals. And then we hit the theater in December. But Nutcracker preparation starts in August. So we've been 'tis the season since August.
For someone who may be attending a ballet for the first time, what do they need to know about theater etiquette? And also, what are some things that they should look out for during the performance so that they can discuss it later and sound like they know what they're talking about?
This is a fantastic question and one that I love. I usually, in the curtain speech, I say, now, just remember, especially to the kids when they come to the kids' school shows, but I say, this is not a movie or a TV show. There are live humans up here on the stage moving and, you know, so it's an energetic exchange between the audience and the performer. And so feel free when you see something that is, you know, virtuosic, like a big leap or a pas de deux, which is a dance for two, and lady is getting lifted, pressed high in the air and carried. Give a round of applause when you see that. And that kind of gets them going. So I think interacting with the performers and not just feeling like it's something you're sitting back and watching is the best first step. And then to a novice eye, pirouettes, which is spins or turns, are very hard. And I had a friend once tell me, you do realize that my husband and I buy tickets because this is better than football, because you want to see which dancer is going to fall down off their point shoe, because how do you balance on a toe? And she goes, and we've never seen someone fall yet, but we're waiting for it. And I said, but that's why we train, so they don't fall over. But so it is very hard to dance up on your toes. And so the amount of training and skill required to execute pirouettes or a leg lift or a leg line does take a great amount of skill. So when you look and you see someone's leg going up very high or multiple spins, which we call pirouettes, that is something that you can then discuss later and go, oh, they were on their leg. Or I'll say, did you notice them leaning a little bit? Because we are human, so you aren't going to hit it exactly the same way every time. And those are some discussion points. And some people will come and see the show multiple times, so then they can compare it and go, oh, I saw her leap high on this one, but she was a little lower on that one. And they did 10 turns in this show and 5 in that one. And it's fun to see those nuances, because at the end of the day, they're live humans up there executing a set of skills.
The other benefit of seeing it multiple times is that if someone makes a mistake, you might not notice that they've made a mistake at first because they cover it.
Correct. But once you know the show, that's where the parents who've seen it for many years, they go, was that supposed to happen? And I'm like, nope, that was a theater glitch. She was like, I was wondering, but it is my 10th time seeing the show.
So that's the magic of live theater.
Exactly, which makes it exciting, because, you know, it's live crew backstage making the scenic shifts. It's, well, I mean, things are starting to get more automated, but more or less, it's still authentically humans doing it. And so that human error, or the timing, because you breathe and you feel the music with the energy exchange of the audience, it's slightly different each show. And that's the beauty and the fun of it.
When and where can we see Inland Pacific Ballet's performances of The Nutcracker?
Yes, this season we open the first weekend of December, the 6th and the 7th at Bridges in Claremont. And then the second weekend, we are here in downtown Riverside at the Fox Theater. And then the last closing weekend, we're back at Bridges with Marinette Don, principal New York City ballet dancer, as our sugar plum.
And how can we get tickets?
Oh, yes. You can go to ipballet.org and search up tickets right there, and it will lead you. But please, this is a note that I really like to tell people, is go to our website first and then make sure you are on the theater's box office page. There's so many scams these days that are trying to scalp tickets. Someone said, I didn't know I had to pay $350 to see your Nutcracker. And I said, $350? No way. So just make sure you go to ipballet.org or Bridges Auditorium website or Fox Performing Theater. And make sure you get the tickets directly through them.
I've been speaking with Zaylin Cano, ballet mistress and executive director for Inland Pacific Ballet. Anything else you think we should know?
I just want to fill everyone's heart with magic and joy this holiday season. And I just see so many families making our Nutcracker their holiday family tradition. And I just hope that if there's any listeners out there who've never attended a Nutcracker, that you come, and I am sure you're going to make this your new holiday family tradition for years to come.
Dancers believe that it is bad luck to say good luck before a performance. So there is a French word that they use instead. Even though it's in a different language, the FCC does not allow me to say that word on the radio, but I just want you to know that the sentiment is there.
Oh, thank you. That is so kind. Thank you very much. We appreciate you helping us spread the word and the great news about classical ballet.
Thank you for making our world a little more beautiful.
Thank you, Pepper.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.